Okay, we are in the book of Judges, chapter 11 and chapter 12. Now, this chapters, 11 chapter is a little bit difficult to understand, but as we go, we will see it. We are going to read from the verse 1.
Now Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor, and he was the son of an harlot, and Gilead begat Jephthah. And Gilead's wife bare him sons, and his wife's sons grew up, and they thrust out Jephthah, and said unto him, Thou shalt not inherit in our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman.
Now here we see, we saw Gideon's son, and he was also the son of concubine or the servant. But that man killed all of his 70 brothers. Now compare with this Jephthah. Jephthah was born to the prostitute. But somehow, maybe that prostitute gave up the prostitute business and stayed with him and raised this son. But he had a wife also. And so she had other children. When the Jephthah was old enough, they start fighting with him and say, you are the son of the prostitute, get out of our place, because we cannot give you any inheritance, our father's inheritance to you, and they kicked him out. See, the other guy, Abimelech, was a very bad person. When he went, he got some bad friends, and he came back and killed his own brothers. Jephthah also, when he went, some bad people joined with him, and he had his own army. So now, comparison, we see that other man was the son of the concubine, and this is the son of the prostitute. We see how God blesses Jephthah and how the Abimelech was cursed. Abimelech had a good chance to let one of the brothers be king or leaders and work with them. But he was a bad person. But Jephthah, even though he is a prostitute's son, he did not fight with these people. He said, okay, I'm going to go to another land and I'm not going to bother you. And he left. Verse 3.
Then Jephthah fled from his brethren and dwelt in the land of Tob, and there were gathered vain men to Jephthah and went out with him. And it came to pass in process of time that the children of Ammon made war against Israel. And it was so that when the children of Ammon made war against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to fetch Jephthah out of the land of Tob. And they said unto Jephthah, come and be our captain, that we may fight with the children of Ammon.
Israeli people, they have 12 tribes. They're all warriors. We'll be learning in this chapter. Ephraimi people, they are very good warriors, but not a single tribe came to rescue these people. So now they are going and begging Jephthah to come back to their town. But Jephthah is not only a humble person, even the warrior, he's a humble person and he's a godly man. You can see how he uses his wisdom. Okay, verse 7.
And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, did not ye hate me and expel me out of my father's house? And why are ye come unto me now when ye are in distress? And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, therefore we turn again to thee now, that thou mayest go with us and fight against the children of Ammon, and be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead.
Okay, now when they came to him, all the leaders or the elders of Israeli people, and they came and begged him to come back. He said, you are the one kicked me out. You don't like me. You hate me. But now you coming and telling me to come back to help you, and you want me to be a leader. He wants God be witness between him and Israeli people. So they come and they start telling him, we will witness, we will promise you before God, and we will not disappoint you, or we will make you our leader. Let's read the verse 9.
And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, if ye bring me home again to fight against the children of Ammon, and the Lord deliver them before me, shall I be your head?
See, if the Lord delivered the Ammonites people, then will you make me a leader? He puts God first. He says, if God helped me to defeat these people, then you don't change your mind. You promise me that I will be a leader and you will not kick me out. So see what they're saying. Verse 10.
And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, the Lord be witness between us if we do not so according to thy words.
See, now they are saying, Lord is between you and us. God is witness. So we promise before God, we will never kick you out, and you will be our leader. Verse 11.
Then Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and captain over them. And Jephthah uttered all his words before the Lord in Mizpah.
See what he's saying, Jephthah, again? Whatever he said it before God. That means whatever he said, God is the witness, and he's going to do according to the will of God. And that's the way he promised, and now he's going for fight. Verse 12.
And Jephthah sent messengers unto the king of the children of Ammon, saying, what hast thou to do with me, that thou art come against me to fight in my land? And the children of the king of Ammon answered unto the messengers of Jephthah, because Israel took away my land, when they came up out of Egypt, from Arnon, even unto Jabbok and unto Jordan, now therefore restore those lands again peaceably.
The people of Ammon coming to fight. They are not coming peaceably. They are already war with this Israeli people. That's why the Israeli elder went to Jephthah. Already war going on. And now, when Jephthah wanted to do everything peaceably, so he said to this, but if you're reading in Numbers and Deuteronomy, we get the whole history, what Jephthah said. So the Jephthah wanted to do everything peaceably, and he is saying, why you war with us? And why you want this land back? He said, you came from Egypt and you took our land. Now who was lying? The Ammonite people are lying, because this same thing is happening in Israel right now. These Hamas people are saying, you stole our land. Actually, that is Israeli land. And Israeli land give it to them, and now they are saying, it's our land, and you get out of our country, and you don't have any land at all. They're thinking that Israeli people, they are stealing the land. The same thing this man is saying, you have taken our land, this is our land. So Jephthah gives him a history. He tells him, let me tell you this land, how we got it. Okay, please read. Verse 14.
And Jephthah sent messengers again unto the king of the children of Ammon, and said unto him, thus hath Jephthah, Israel took not away the land of Moab, nor the land of the children of Ammon. But when Israel came up from Egypt, and walked through the wilderness unto the Red Sea, and came to Kadesh, then Israel sent messengers unto the king of Edom, saying, let me, I pray thee, pass through thy land. But the king of Edom would not hearken thereto, and in like manner they sent unto the king of Moab, but he would not consent, and Israel abode in Kadesh. Then they went along through the wilderness, and compassed the land of Edom and the land of Moab, and came by the east side of the land of Moab, and pitched on the other side of Arnon, but came not within the border of Moab, for Arnon was the border of Moab. And Israel sent messengers unto Sihon, king of the Amorites, the king of Heshbon, and Israel said unto him, let us pass, we pray thee, through thy land into my place. But Sihon trusted not Israel to pass through his coast. But Sihon gathered all his people together, and pitched in Jahaz, and fought against Israel.
Okay, now he giving the history, we did not take your land, and how this land came to us. We were coming peaceably, even though we talked to Sihon's king, hey, listen, let us go peacefully, but he came to fight with us. So he says, when he came to fight with the Israeli people, then God gave us a victory over the Sihon. And whatever the Sihon got, the land from Moabites and other land, now we took that also. So he's trying to say, you don't know the history. This land is not your land. This is our land. And you are trying to take this land from us and telling us give this land peaceably. You should know the history about your land. Okay, let's read verse 21.
And the Lord God of Israel delivered Sihon and all his people into the hand of Israel, and they smote them, so Israel possessed all the land of the Amorites, the inhabitants of that country. And they possessed all the coasts of the Amorites, from Arnon even unto Jabbok, and from the wilderness even unto Jordan. So now the Lord God of Israel hath dispossessed the Amorites from before his people Israel, and shouldest thou possess it? Wilt not thou possess that which Chemosh thy God giveth thee to possess? So whomsoever the Lord our God shall drive out from before us, them will we possess.
Now, here he's trying to say to these Ammonites people, you don't know the history. You are trying to take our land, but here I'm giving you idea. We don't want fight. We don't want any fighting. You already have the land, but you're coming and fighting with us, and you are trying to tell us, give this land back to you. So whatever your God is, Chemosh, is idol God, if you think that your God gave you victory, be happy and stay there. We don't want to fight with you because we are living peaceably and we don't want fight, and you should not be fighting. This land is our land and you don't take it from us. Now when somebody gives you all this wisdom, the person has to understand that this man is right, I'm wrong. Why should I fight the wrong fight? But people don't understand. They just want to fight and think that these are 12 tribes. Not a single person came to fight with me. This man is a son of prostitute. Nobody likes him. So we can defeat him easily. And that's what they were thinking. But God doesn't go according to your past history. You can be prostitute's son. You can be a murderer or killer. But when you come to God, God forgives you and God uses you. This is the example we're seeing in here. The other guy, Abimelech, was the Gideon's son. His father was a good man, but he was a bad person. He was doing everything wrong. But this man, humbly, he went somewhere and wanted to be peaceably. He didn't want to fight with his brother. They came to him and they said, please come back. And he put God first. He said, if God is with me, I'll be conquering this land. And so he used the wisdom. Not only that, now he is using his God-given wisdom and giving the history to the enemy. In those days, there was no telephone. There was no any other way to communicate with these people. So he has to write a letter, and these people have to take the letter and read it to them, and then they will say something to him and they will bring it back to him. It takes a long time. But somehow he gave him the history and told him, now this is not your land. So that man should be satisfied, but he is not. Verse 25.
And now art thou anything better than Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab? Did he ever strive against Israel? Or did he ever fight against them?
You know the story, how the Balak called the Balaam and tried to curse the children of Israel. So he's trying to say in the short, Balak the king, or Moabites, they were great people, but they did not fight with the Israeli people. And Israeli people did not fight with them. They were peacefully, they were going other way around. Are you greater than the Balak? Are you greater than Moabites? What you thinking about yourself? The great men, great people did not fight with the children of Israel. They had the wisdom because they saw the God's power and God's glory, and they did not want to fight with the Israeli people. But why are you fighting? He's trying to make a sense with this man. Let's read verse 26.
While Israel dwelt in Heshbon and her towns, and in Aroer and her towns, and in all the cities that be along by the coasts of Arnon 300 years, why therefore did he not recover them within that time?
Now, he is telling him, this thing happened, this land was taken 300 years ago, and you are living 300 years, but you never recover this land. Why are you fighting now? If you wanted to take this land 300 years ago, your forefathers would have taken this land. But this land is given by God, and you cannot fight, and you cannot take it. But his mind is still not working. Verse 27.
Wherefore, I have not sinned against thee, but thou doest me wrong to war against me. The Lord the judge be judged this day between the children of Israel and the children of Ammon.
Now he is making sense to him. He says, listen. So far, I don't want to fight with you. I want to be peace with you. That's why I gave you the history. I told you everything. But let me tell you, I am not doing anything wrong to you. Here the word used, sin. I'm not sinning against you. But he's saying, I'm not doing any wrong to you, but you're doing something wrong to me. From that you see the character of Jephthah. He doesn't want to be wrong with the enemy. Even the enemy was fighting and doing wrong, we would have defeated you. But I am trying to make sense to you. Why are you fighting with us? And he's saying, you are doing wrong, but I am not committing any sin that coming against you. That means he said, my conscience is clear. I am not coming to steal your land, but you are fighting with me. But this man doesn't understand. Verse 20.
Howbeit the king of the children of Ammon hearkened not unto the words of Jephthah which he sent him. Then the spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he passed over Gilead and Manasseh, and passed over Mizpah of Gilead, and from Mizpah of Gilead he passed over unto the children of Ammon.
Now here, God was watching. God was watching over Jephthah, and he watched how this man dealing with the enemy. An enemy is not listening, but enemy is coming to fight with Jephthah. That's the time God gave him the Spirit of God, Spirit of the Lord. So the word of God says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah. Those people, Israeli people, made him a leader. That time the Spirit of the Lord didn't come. They already promised him, we're not going to do any wrong to you. That time the Spirit of the Lord didn't come. But when he humbled himself and showed himself that I don't want to fight, I don't want to fight with you people. But the man says, no, we are going to fight. We are not going to let you go. So God says, I'm going to give you my Spirit, my power. The word of God says, battle is of the Lord. And so the God gives you the power to overcome the enemy. So the God saw the character of this man. God saw the humbleness of this man. And God saw the righteousness of this man. And God says, now I'm going to give you my power. I'm going to give my Spirit. And you are going to be victorious. Verse 30.
And Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into mine hands, then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the children of Ammon shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering.
Now, Jephthah, when he was filled with the power of God, he got the favor of God, and he knew in his heart, God will give me victory, but I want to please God before I can get the victory. So he said, Lord, if you give me those people in my hand, and if I have a victory over them, what I'm going to do, I'm going to give you a sacrifice or gift. And foolishly what he said, anything comes out of my house, I'll give it to you. In our country, we have if you are rich, you have the house, and you have all the stone all around and the gate. So all your animals, cows and everything will be in the front. And then your house will be a little bit in the back. And so everything is there. And early in the morning you open the gate and animals start running, going out for eating the grass. So in his mind, now you have to read several different translations. Here he said, whatsoever cometh from the door. So, and some other Bible, he said, whosoever comes. Now he said, whatever comes can be a cow, the bull or goat or anything, because they just run. So he thought, if the bull comes, I will sacrifice. If cow comes, I'll sacrifice. If sheep comes, I'll sacrifice. He never thought that his daughter is coming running to meet him. So let's read a little bit further.
So Jephthah passed over unto the children of Ammon to fight against them, and the Lord delivered them into his hands. And he smote them from Aroer, even till thou come to Minnith, even 20 cities, and unto the plain of the vineyards with a very great slaughter. Thus the children of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel. And Jephthah came to Mizpah unto his house, and behold, his daughter came out to meet him with timbrels and with dances, and she was his only child, and beside her he had neither son nor daughter. And it came to pass, when he saw her, that he rent his clothes, and said, Alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low, and thou art one of them that trouble me, for I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back.
Okay, now the situation is this. The daughter comes with the dancing, with the tambourine, and she's rejoicing, and she is greeting father and because he won the victory over Ammonites. And the father got so sad. He start thinking, now I have to give this, my daughter, to the Lord. But some other scholars and some other Bible, they did not understand the Jephthah, and they did not understand the Bible, and they did not understand the God's law. And what they are saying, oh, Jephthah sacrificed his daughter and burned his daughter to ashes. That's why people are thinking. But as we read, I'll come back and explain to you. Okay, keep on reading.
And she said unto him, My father, if thou hast opened thy mouth unto the Lord, do to me according to that which hath proceeded out of thy mouth, for as much as the Lord hath taken vengeance for thee of thine enemies, even of the children of Ammon. And she said unto her father, Let this thing be done for me, let me alone 2 months, that I may go up and down on the mountains and bewail my virginity, I and my fellows. And he said, Go, and he sent her away for 2 months, and she went with her companions and bewailed her virginity upon the mountains. And it came to pass, at the end of 2 months, that she returned unto her father, who did with her according to his vow which he had vowed, and she knew no man, and it was a custom in Israel.
Now see, he said, she knew no man, the point here. Now this girl was a virgin. Now this virgin girl comes, and the Jephthah was so sad. He was sad not because he was going to burn to ashes or sacrifice her. He was thinking, now I'm going to give my daughter to God. Once you give gift to God, that's belong to God. I'm going to give you the references. When you give it to the Lord, that becomes holy unto the Lord. That means when you give it to the Lord, you cannot take it back. So he thought, if I give my daughter to God, she will be lifetime virgin. She will never marry. She has the only one daughter, no other children. You know, I would not have any grandchildren, or I would not have any other child from my daughter. So that's why he was sad. But God has provided so many different avenues. If you make mistakes like this, how can God give you grace to protect your child or protect what you said? When she comes back and she said, Dad, now do whatever you want me to do. And he said, okay, he did according to what he said and what he said to the Lord. What he said to the Lord? He said to the Lord, if anyone comes to the out of the door, I will give that to you. That means it will be belong to you. That is God's. And so he has to do that, give his daughter to the Lord. But people thinking, no, he killed his daughter. So let's read a couple of verses. Go to the Leviticus chapter 27 and verses 1-4.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, When a man shall make a singular vow, the persons shall be for the Lord by thy estimation. And thy estimation shall be of the male from 20 years old, even unto 60 years old, even thy estimation shall be 50 shekels of silver after the shekel of the sanctuary. And if it be a female, then thy estimation shall be 30 shekels.
Now, what God is trying to say here, if you dedicate something to God and think, then you thought, oh, I made a mistake. So you can redeem that thing. You can say, the priest tells you, if the person, the man, and the age is given, okay, then certain amount you give, 50 shekels. And if there is a girl, then you 30 shekels. You can redeem that person if you give it to the Lord. Because here he's saying, read the verse 28 in that same chapter. Leviticus chapter 27, verse 28.
Notwithstanding no devoted thing that a man shall devote unto the Lord of all that he hath, both of man and beast, and of the field of his possession, shall be sold or redeemed. Every devoted thing is most holy unto the Lord.
See, you said you can redeem it, but when you give it to the Lord, it belongs to God and it is most holy. So now he's in puzzle. Now he's thinking, can I redeem my daughter? He can give the money, he can give the sacrifice, he can give the bull sacrifice, and he can redeem his daughter. But the daughter says, no, Dad, you don't have to redeem me. I am going to go 2 months, and after 2 months, you do whatever you want to do. So you give me to the Lord. When he gives his daughter to the Lord, that's become most holy thing. That means no man can touch her, nobody can touch her, nobody can kill her, nobody can destroy her. That's belong to God. When we read in this book, he said when she came back and say she never married again. Another translation said she remained virgin until he died. So people say, oh, because he killed her, and until that time she was virgin. No, she can be virgin until she dies. She cannot marry because she belongs to God. He gave it to the Lord. And now somebody said, oh, Jephthah might have sacrificed her. If he sacrificed her, then it becomes a crime. It becomes a sin. Let's read a couple of verses. Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 23.
That which is gone out of thy lips thou shalt keep and perform, even a freewill offering, according as thou hast vowed unto the Lord thy God, which thou hast promised with thy mouth.
Now here it says, whatever you vow, promise you do, keep your promise. So Jephthah has to keep the promise. Okay, Numbers chapter 30, verse 2.
If a man vow a vow unto the Lord or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth.
See, once you give the promise, you do according to the promise. You don't break your promise. So the daughter said, Daddy, you don't have to break your promise. You vow to God, you do whatever you want to do. But at the same time, Jephthah cannot sacrifice his daughter. If he sacrifices his daughter to God, God will not allow. Because you know the elders anointed him and elders made him a judge. Now the elders are going to come and say, you are breaking the law. You cannot do the sacrifice like a heathen people sacrifice. And the word of God says when the heathen sacrifices heathen God, they burn to ashes. Let's read the Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 31 and 32.
Thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God, for every abomination to the Lord which he hateth have they done unto their gods, for even their sons and their daughters they have burnt in the fire to their gods.
Now here is saying, don't do like a heathen. Don't burn your children in a sacrifice. If you do that, that's wrong. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 9 and 10.
When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch.
Now here is giving commandment. You're going to the foreign land, you're going to see the foreign people burning their children as a sacrifice. Not only that, they will tell them to walk through the fire and do all kinds of magic and this and that. You don't do that. If you do that, you will be guilty and you will be put to death. So now, if the Jephthah burns his daughter as a burnt sacrifice to heathen God, just think, people are thinking, oh, he was out of his mind and he burned his daughter because he made a vow. That will be foolish. You cannot make the vow to God and burn your daughter to the heathen God. It cannot happen like that. But when I was reading all the people's commentary, everybody saying he did the burnt sacrifice, he burned his daughter. It cannot happen like that because this man knows the history. You remember how he gave the history, how the people of Israel came and how they talked to other people and how he knows the 300 years history, do you think that he doesn't know the law, biblical law, that if you do something like that, you will be put to death? So he cannot do that. And then some people think, oh, Abraham, God told Abraham to sacrifice his son. So maybe he said, if Abraham can sacrifice his son, I can sacrifice my daughter. But you have to think, Abraham, God talked to him before the law. The law was not given at that time. Even though by mistake, Abraham sacrificed his son, God will not find him guilty because there is no law. If there is no law, there is no guilt. So there was no law, but still God did not allow him to sacrifice his son. So from that we know that our God is a just God. When he promised God, he said, I'm going to keep my promise. I'm going to dedicate my daughter to the Lord. And do you know, in a book of Luke, there is a lady called Anna. She was a virgin, and she married to somebody, and the man died. And so she said, I'm not going to marry anybody, but I'm going to go to the house of the Lord. And she stayed there, and she saw baby Jesus. So the point I'm making, there is a history that if your daughter dedicates yourself to God, she can be living in the house of God. But people don't study this, what I'm telling you, and they just said the word that he did it what he promised. And if you read that word, he said, it will be sacrificed. It means you cannot say to the person, it. So he was thinking about animal sacrifice. And even though he dedicated his daughter to the Lord, we saw that he can redeem his daughter. So he can give the sacrifice of bulls and goats and things like that. So she never married, and that's why the people were mourning for her virginity. They did not mourn because she died. There are so many people die every day. But they saw the dedication of the girl, and she never married again. Now there is another example, Saul and Jonathan. If you remember, you have to read 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 24 to 45. But I am not going there. I'm just giving you a story. Saul made a mistake. He said, we are going to fight with our enemy, and everybody is going to fast. Until we defeat enemy, nobody is going to eat anything. He made a foolish thing. Jonathan didn't know anything. Jonathan was fighting, and they got almost victory in everything. And while going, Jonathan saw some honey. So he dipped his rod and put it in his mouth, and his eyes lightened. So he was so happy. But one of his warriors said, hey, Jonathan, you will be killed. So what happened? Your dad said nobody can eat anything until we defeat enemies. Now you are guilty. But he said, shh, I'm not going to tell anybody anything. But when they found out, if somebody did something and they called the priest to find out the Urim and Thummim, and God gave the answer, divided people, the army one side, and Jonathan and his father one side. And then they again asked the God, and then said, Jonathan made a mistake. So his father said, you should be killed now. What did he do? Just a little bit honey on his tongue, and no, he didn't know anything. And Jonathan said, okay, I'm ready to die. In those days, the sons and daughters were very obedient. This daughter said, Dad, you made a covenant. I'm going to obey. And if you read in the Leviticus, we already read, there is a law again. If the daughter makes a mistake or son makes a mistake and makes a covenant with God and say, I'm going to give my life, or I'm going to give my property, something like that, the father has authority to cancel it. Or one girl says, I'm going to do something to God and give it to God, and she married to somebody. The husband has power to forgive that, and God will not make him like a criminal or something. So there are the God's law in the Word of God. If somebody kills somebody accidentally, and somebody wants to kill that man, he has to run to the place called refuge, and nobody can go and kill him. So God is not in a killing business. God cannot allow Jephthah to kill his daughter and sacrifice his daughter against the law. So that's what we have to learn. So I don't believe that Jephthah killed his daughter. And Jonathan also, his father was going to kill, but the people said, listen, we got the victory. Jonathan fought with us. If you do that, then we are all going to do something. That means you will be killed or we are going to go get out. And they saved Jonathan's life. So from that, I know God is in the business of saving life, not destroying life. So all these commentary people do and tell them that Jephthah killed his daughter, that is wrong. Because he cannot kill, he can give it to the Lord, and that gift is belong to God, and God will honor that, and that will be the most holy thing to God. So that's the point. And another two, I would like to bring it to you. Just think Jephthah went against God, just for a minute. He went against God and he burned his daughter to ashes. Don't you think that God will be mad because he did like a heathen? And then he has to put to death? But go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11 and verse 32. His name is in that line. All the faith warriors we read in Hebrews chapter 11, Jephthah's name is there. Please read.
And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets.
Now see, his name is in the list of the prophets and holy men and godly people. If he disobey God, do you think his name will be there? No. So from that, I guarantee you that Jephthah did not a burnt sacrifice to his daughter to God, because he dedicated to God but not burnt sacrifice. Why? Because God honored him and God gave him a victory. Okay, let's go back to the book of Judges, chapter 11, verse 40. Okay, let's.
That the daughters of Israel went yearly to lament the daughter of Jephthah the Gileadite 4 days in a year.
Now, that becomes like some kind of custom that Jephthah's daughter did not marry. She dedicated her life to God. She was an obedient child. She did not fight with father. So they want to honor her. And every year, couple of days, 4 days or so, they will go to that same mountains and they will weep for her, even though she is dead and gone later on. That was the custom. So from all of these things, I gather everything that all other commentary, all the scholars do, I disagree with them, and I believe that God did not allow Jephthah to kill his daughter, but she was dedicated to the Lord. Okay, and the chapter finishes there, and we go to the chapter 12. Judges chapter 12, starting from verse 1.
And the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and went northward and said unto Jephthah, wherefore passed thou over to fight against the children of Ammon, and didst not call us to go with thee? We will burn thine house upon thee with fire.
Now see, one problem already faced Jephthah. Now his daughter is already dedicated to the Lord. He's sad, and now his own people, means Israeli people, this is Ephraim. The Ephraim people come and try to fight with him for no reason. He did not do any wrong to them. Now, I found out these Ephraim people, they are proud people. If you go back to the Judges, chapter 8, verse 1, please read.
And the men of Ephraim said unto him, why hast thou served us thus, that thou calledst us not when thou wentest to fight with the Midianites? And they did chide with him sharply.
Now, see, this is same people. When Gideon got the victory, they came and said, hey, why you didn't call us? And they wanted to fight with Gideon, but Gideon said, hey, listen, you killed the two kings, you are greater than me, I'm not fighting with you, and they were quiet. Now here again, now they're coming to Jephthah. Jephthah, they're saying, why didn't you call us? I already told you, When the Israeli people, when these Ammonites people came to fight with the Israeli people, nobody was there to help. Then these people, they have to go and call Jephthah and say, please come and fight for us. Where were the Ephraimi people that time? So this is the enemy. The man is depressed. Man is in low spirit right now. But they want to crush him more and kill him and burn his house down. But see how God gave this man wisdom to talk to these people. Okay, verse 2. Judges chapter 12, verse 2.
And Jephthah said unto them, I and my people were at great strife with the children of Ammon, and when I called you, you delivered me not out of their hands.
Now he's saying, I was passing through Ephraim and Manasseh places. We had a great battle. I already asked you to help us. You didn't come and help. Now if they didn't come and if he didn't say, they would say, when did you tell us? Right? But they are not saying. Because they are guilty. They didn't come to help him. They thought Ammonites people are great people and they are going to destroy Jephthah and we don't want to get killed. So they kept quiet. Now the Jephthah got the victory, and why these people are so jealous? Because they know the Jephthah's history. He's the prostitute's son. They don't want prostitute's son to be their judge. So they want to kill him. But see how God gives him victory. And when you go against God, God will destroy you. Let's read a little bit further. Verse 3.
And when I saw that ye delivered me not, I put my life in my hands and passed over against the children of Ammon, and the Lord delivered them into my hand. Wherefore then are ye come up unto me this day to fight against me?
Now see, he gives glory to God. He says, you didn't help me, but the Lord delivered them into my hand. Means God did it. God is the one who gave me victory. All the glory goes to God. Why are you jealous? When God gave me victory, why are you jealous? Why you want to fight with me? I didn't do anything wrong to you. I am your brother, but he didn't say that. Even if he say, I'm your brother, he say, hey, you're a prostitute, son. So he could not say anything. He simply said, why are you fighting with me? I didn't do anything wrong to you. I defeated the enemy. So you should be happy. But those people are not happy. Let's read verse 4.
Then Jephthah gathered together all the men of Gilead and fought with Ephraim. And the men of Gilead smote Ephraim, because they said, ye Gileadites are fugitives of Ephraim among the Ephraimites and among the Manassites. And the Gileadites took the passages of Jordan before the Ephraimites. And it was so that when those Ephraimites which were escaped said, let me go over, that the men of Gilead said unto him, art thou an Ephraimite? If he said, nay, then said they unto him, say now Shibboleth, and he said Sibboleth, for he could not frame to pronounce it right. Then they took him and slew him at the passages of Jordan, and there fell at that time of the Ephraimites 40 and 2,000.
Now see, Ephraim people came to fight with him. He tried to make sense to them. Don't fight with me. I didn't do anything wrong to you. But they want to kill him, burn his house, and destroy him. So it doesn't say here, but I believe Jephthah might have gone to God. Lord, what should I do? Help me now. So God gave him grace to fight with these people. And how many people he killed? 42,000 people. It's not an ordinary thing. I think he might have killed more than Ammonites. So 42,000 people he killed. And they were standing and the people were crossing the riverside. And when they say, hey, are you the Ephraimites? Oh, no, I'm not Ephraimites. Okay, then say Shibboleth. So they will not pronounce properly. They, instead of saying Shah, they will say Sir, Shibboleth. As they know he is not our person, and they kill. So 42,000 people were killed. So from that we see this man was a good man, godly man. God gave him grace even to give the lessons to Ephraimites. They went to fight with Gideon. Gideon could not fight with them. Now they come to fight with Jephthah, and God gave him grace to destroy 42,000 people. Okay, and let's read the verse 7.
And Jephthah judged Israel 6 years. Then died Jephthah the Gileadite and was buried in one of the cities of Gilead.
Now see, he ruled these people for 6 years. He died, and according to their law, they buried him in his own town. They said, we will not kick you out. They kept the promise and kept his body where his father was buried. So he got a good burial, and he took care of this Israeli people for 6 years. And I was thinking, why 6 years? Maybe this man was older. Maybe he was depressed. Maybe he was exhausted. Maybe he was thinking about his daughter. I don't know what. People sometimes, they don't want to live too long. And somehow he judged people only 6 years. And then we see three more judges here, but their story is not given, just like we read a couple of judges in the time of Gideon. Okay, let's read verse 8.
And after him, Ibzan of Bethlehem judged Israel. And he had 30 sons and 30 daughters, whom he sent abroad, and took in 30 daughters from abroad for his sons, and he judged Israel 7 years.
Now, this man's history is not given anything. He had daughters, 30 sons, and he gave his daughter to others, and he got other daughters for his son. And that's the only story. We don't know where he got the daughter, where he got married his son. That is not important. But only thing he is trying to say, this man lived a good life. Had 30 daughters and 30 sons, 60. The other guy was, Gideon has 70 sons. These people have lots of children. But this man also judged the Israel for only 7 years. And then comes another judge. Oh, verse 10, okay.
Then died Ibzan and was buried in Bethlehem.
Okay, so see, he's from Bethlehem, so he was buried in Bethlehem. Okay, verse 11.
And after him, Elon, a Zebulunite, judged Israel, and he judged Israel 10 years.
Now, this is Zebulunite. That's also one tribe of Israel. And so this man comes from that tribe, and he judged Israeli people for 10 years. But no story, no history, nothing. Verse 12.
And Elon the Zebulunite died and was buried in Ajalon in the country of Zebulun.
So he died, he was buried, and he judged people for 10 years. Then comes the verse 13.
And after him, Abdon the son of Hillel, a Pirathonite, judged Israel. And he had 40 sons and 30 nephews that rode on 70 ass colts, and he judged Israel 8 years.
He says he had 40 sons and nephews. There are nothing more to write, so they had to write something about him. And then he had 70 donkeys. Now, he was not that rich. If you look at the Solomon, he had thousands and thousands of horses and animals and things like that. But he had 70 donkeys. So in those days, that is their wealth. This man got judged for only 8 years. Okay, let's finish this. Verse 15.
And Abdon, the son of Hillel, the Pirathonite, died and was buried in Pirathon in the land of Ephraim in the mount of the Amalekites.
Okay, now he was dead and buried, and that's the story finishes there. So the chapters are finished, and God willing, we are starting the story about Samson. Shall we rise? Okay, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace to come to the house of God. Bless your people, supply their needs, protect them from all the dangers and harms. Give us your grace to live for you and for your glory. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Please be seated.